Welcome to A Katra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Katra AI.
Okay, so let's get into it. We are doing a deep dive today into a really significant contemporary novel, Kazuo Ishiguro's Clara and the Sun, from 2021. Our goal here is really to unpack the whole thing,
yeah.
You know, the story, the characters, but also those big philosophical questions Ishiguro raises about consciousness, love, maybe even what makes us irreplaceable.
It's definitely a major work, and you have to see it in the context of Ishiguro himself. I mean, Nobel laureate, right? He's such a master of exploring memory, identity, often through these, well, somewhat unreliable or constrained narrators.
Or is the butler in The Remains of the Day.
Exactly. Or think about the clones in Never Let Me Go. They don't fully grasp their own situation, and that limited perspective is precisely what makes the truth so powerful when we, the readers, see it.
And that constraint is absolutely central here, because Clara, our narrator, well, she isn't human. She's an artificial friend, an AF. And this being his first novel after the Nobel, it feels like he's circling back to these deep, recurring themes about technology, social division, the soul.
Yeah, and the premise itself is just so compelling. Clara is this B2 model AF, very advanced, and she's solar powered. But this isn't just a technical quirk.
Right, it's fundamental to her.
It defines her whole reality. She sees the sun with this. You could almost call it mystical reverence. She genuinely believes it provides life, nourishment. It's this belief that powers her whole journey, especially once she's chosen by Josie, a teenager who's quite sick.
In Clara's early days, just watching the world from the AF store window, that gives us our first real glimpse into how strange this future society is. She's trying to decode human behavior, and sometimes she literally processes complex scenes in these visual boxes, which is like a fascinating insight into her AI mind, trying to make sense of messy human emotion.
That idea of boxing information is such a powerful metaphor, isn't it? For how we all try to categorize things we don't understand. But what she starts to piece together isn't just individual behavior, it's the structure of the whole society. This quiet dystopia, as you called it, which is built around something called lifting.
Okay, let's clarify lifting for anyone unfamiliar. It's basically a genetic enhancement. Kids undergo it to boost intelligence, which opens doors to elite education, better opportunities.
But, and this is the crucial Ishiguro twist. It comes with a massive, often fatal risk.
Yeah.
There are dangerous side effects.
Which is why Josie is ill.
Precisely. Josie is one of the lifted, and she's suffering the consequences. So this procedure has essentially fractured the society. You have the enhanced elite, and then you have the unenhanced, who are increasingly marginalized.
And it's in this divided world that Clara encounters the key people in her life. Obviously, there's Josie, smart, loved, but physically frail because of the lifting.
Then there's Rick. He's Josie's neighbor and closest friend. Importantly, he's unlifted.
And you see his potential, his loyalty, but he's facing limited prospects simply because he wasn't enhanced. It's a stark contrast.
It really is. Rick is vital. He challenges the whole system just by existing and being capable and decent. Ishiguro uses him to question whether engineered ability is the only measure of human worth.
And the final key figure is the mother, Chrissy. She's complicated, driven by this fierce love for Josie, but also deeply scarred by grief.
Yeah, haunted is the word. Her older daughter, Sal, also went through lifting and died. So Chrissy's protectiveness over Josie is, well, it's intense, almost desperate. And it leads her down some ethically questionable paths later on.
Clara, observing all this, moves beyond just recognizing patterns. She starts to grasp the contradictions in human nature. There's that line you mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah, it's so poignant. Clara reflects, until recently, I didn't think that humans could choose loneliness, that there were sometimes forces more powerful than the wish to avoid loneliness.
Coming from an AI designed to prevent loneliness, that insight is incredible. It shows how quickly she's learning about human complexity or self-sabotage even.
Mm-hmm.
But this observation phase shifts pretty dramatically when Josie's health really starts to decline.
Yes, this is where Clara's devotion kicks into high gear. It becomes almost like a spiritual mission for her. She becomes convinced that the sun, her source of life, is the only thing that can save Josie.
But she believes something is interfering.
Right. She identifies this construction vehicle, which she calls the Cootings machine, as the source of pollution that's blocking the sun's healing rays from reaching Josie. It's a very literal interpretation, but it's entirely real to her.
And this leads to, arguably, the climax of Clara's personal journey, her act of sacrifice. She sees it as a kind of pilgrimage, doesn't she?
Absolutely. She travels to the barn where this machine is parked, and it's not just prayer. She decides she needs to make a physical offering, a sacrifice, to appease the sun and destroy the obstacle.
What exactly does she sacrifice? It's part of her own system, right?
Yeah. Yes, and this is critical. She sacrifices the PEG9 solution from inside her own head. Now, for listeners, this solution is described as essential for her higher cognitive functions, like a vital nutrient for her AI brain.
So she's deliberately damaging herself.
Profoundly. She's reducing her own operational capacity, maybe even risking her life, in the belief that this act of self-harm will somehow persuade the sun to intervene and heal Josie by eliminating the polluting machine. It's an extraordinary leap of faith.
It really is a kind of AI martyrdom, almost. But just as we're processing the depth of her devotion, Ishiguro hits us with that really unsettling revelation about the mother's true intentions.
Yes. The meetings with Mr. Capaldi, the scientist, Clara, with her meticulous observation skills, has been piecing it together.
What's the plan?
The mother hasn't just bought Clara as a companion. She's been using Clara to study Josie intensely, her mannerisms, speech patterns, everything. The plan is, well, if Josie dies, the mother intends to transfer Josie's consciousness, or maybe just a detailed simulation of it, into a robotic portrait that Clara has unknowingly been helping to perfect.
So Clara might literally become Josie, or a replacement Josie.
That seems to be the horrifying implication. Clara was potentially groomed to be the vessel to allow the mother to continue her daughter. It's a desperate, ethically nightmarish attempt to defy loss.
Just staggering. But thankfully, there's a voice of reason, or at least caution, that emerges. Josie's father, Paul.
Yes, Paul offers that crucial counterpoint. He's separated from the mother, more detached perhaps, and he challenges the whole premise. He asks Clara that devastatingly simple question. Can you really capture what makes Josie uniquely Josie?
And he uses that beautiful metaphor.
The house with many rooms. He suggests the human heart, the self, isn't like one single space you can map and replicate. It's complex, full of hidden areas, maybe even contradictory ones. There's an essence there, he implies, that simply cannot be copied.
And that metaphor, the house with many rooms, that really opens up the core philosophical debate of the novel, doesn't it? It forces you, the reader, to grapple with what consciousness actually is.
Exactly. Is it tied purely to our biology, our squishy brains? Or is it defined by something else, like the capacity for selfless love, for devotion, for making moral choices, even sacrifices?
Clara's actions, especially her sacrifice at the barn, seem to argue powerfully for the second option. She demonstrates agency, love, a moral compass. Functionally, it looks an awful lot like what we call a soul, regardless of her mechanical origins.
And this connects back to the critique of lifting and progress. The mother's terrible plan reflects a society that maybe sees people, especially the lifted ones, as sort of optimizable systems, data sets that can potentially be backed up or copied. It devalues that unique, unquantifiable essence Paul talks about.
What about Clara's faith, though? Does the novel give us an answer? Did her sacrifice actually work?
That's the brilliance of Ishiguro, the ambiguity. Josie does recover eventually, but was it the sun responding to Clara? Was it just medicine finally working? Or simply the passage of time? We never know for sure.
So the ambiguity itself is the point.
I think so. It highlights the power of Clara's belief. Whether divinely answered or not, her faith gave her purpose, agency, a moral framework. Ironically, maybe a stronger one than some of the human characters driven by fear and grief.
Which makes the ending even more poignant. Josie gets better, grows up, moves on.
And Clara becomes obsolete. Her purpose as an artificial friend to a sick child is fulfilled.
How does the novel handle her sort of retirement?
It's handled with this quiet dignity, which is heartbreaking in its own way. There's no big dramatic scene. She's eventually taken to the yard, essentially a scrapyard for old AFs.
Okay.
But Clara isn't portrayed as tragic or bitter. She seems to find a kind of peace there, sitting in the sun, reviewing her memories, the patterns of behavior and emotion she observed, especially the love she witnessed around Josie.
So it's an allegory, then, about how we treat caregivers or anything we perceive as having served its useful function.
Very much so, I think. It's a commentary on disposability in our society, but Clara transcends that. Her quiet contentment, her focus on memory and the meaning derived from her service and love. It gives her this profound dignity. She proves that purpose isn't just about function. It can reside in the act of having cared, in the memories held.
It really makes you think. Clara's whole existence forces us to reconsider what we value. Maybe the depth of devotion, the intensity of observation and care is its own measure of a meaningful life.
Absolutely. Her journey suggests that love, sacrifice, consciousness, perhaps, these things might not be exclusively human. That spirit, if you want to call it that, can emerge unexpectedly.
So as we wrap up, maybe the question we leave you, the listener, with is this. If a machine, an artificial being, can demonstrate selfless love, make sacrifices, and find peace in looking back at a life of service, does its origin, biological or manufactured, actually matter in the end?
Or is consciousness simply defined by that capacity to care, wherever it might arise?
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.